When I start thinking about change, the first thing I think about this time of the year is making resolutions. Did anybody make resolutions this year? Good, I didn't either. I made 8 personal goals for change a year ago, and I started on 6 of them just before the beginning of the year. I completed one of them, and one was halfway done, and a number of them I just felt like giving up on, and I think I finally did. That's just the way it is with those resolutions. How long will I actually work on them, or will I give up, is what it comes down to. Where we start to look at those type of things, and we start thinking about something that's going to be lasting change. And that becomes the problem. How do I make lasting change in my life? It's almost impossible to do on our own. You see, our mind contains everything. Thoughts and ideas and images and beliefs, and our feelings are closely aligned with our thoughts. I think of my mind and I start thinking about my brain, but you know, my mind is a lot more than just my brain, thank goodness. The brain is matter. The mind encompasses experience and can interact with reality and with dreams and desires. We can believe something is true even when it really isn't. Think about that for a minute with some things that have gone on in society just in the last few weeks. We can believe something is true when it's not. The rest of our being works off of our mind. So when the Bible declares in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it is giving you a really important piece of information. Now, if I go back to Romans chapter 1 around verses 28 and 29, just for a moment, I find that it states, since they did not think it important to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind. It was talking about some people that were involved in some very deep sins. They did not want to pay any attention to God, so He let their mind just go the way they were wanting it to go. Then I come to Romans 12:2, and I find it in direct contrast to this, to where we are given the opportunity to renew our minds, which leads to greater health in us spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Now, just taking that verse apart, I look here and it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be renewed. I start thinking about worldly renewal thoughts, the things that are the pattern of the world. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a human being, I go to bed, I get a good night's sleep, and I wake up with renewed energy. I wake up with renewed mental capacity. If I take a day off and go do something totally different than studying or what I normally do, supposedly it's going to refresh my mind and give me new mental energy. I kind of look like that at renewing a magazine subscription. For some reason, all of a sudden, we have started getting about 10 magazines delivered to our house. Now, some of them are in our daughter-in-law's name, Debbie's name. And I think when they came and stayed with us for a month a year ago, they transferred all the mail to our house. Now, when you transfer mail again, magazines don't transfer. And so they keep ending up in our mailbox. But all of a sudden, Marcy's getting a couple of women's business magazines, and I'm getting this man. I don't know where they've all come from. If some of you have put us on some list, please take us off. One that keeps coming just kind of intrigues me, the Reader's Digest. For years, and I've mentioned this before, for years and years I had a Reader's Digest subscription. I think my mother bought it for me every year at Christmas because she knew I liked it. Well, that stopped coming all of a sudden, and Mom just didn't renew it, I think it was because of what she was going through. And so I started renewing it myself. I've stopped renewing it, and guess what? For a year and a half now. It keeps coming with, this is your last copy. Renew or you're not going to, and I might miss a month and then there's another one again. This is your last copy. Please renew. And it's this insanely low price. But I have so much reading to do, I don't worry about it. If I really wanted it, I would renew that subscription and it would keep coming to me on a regular basis rather than kind of hit or miss. When I think about renewing my mind in the worldly sense, it's those things I do to get refreshing, a new perspective on things. I get to relax my mind from the normal daily grind and go out and do something to where the next day I can handle the normal daily grind again. That's the world's way of renewing our mind. But the Bible tells us, and goes a little bit further here, it says, do not conform anymore to the pattern of the world. You see, when I start looking at this renewal, it's to make something new, fresh, or strong, to make it all over again, to begin something again, especially with more force or enthusiasm. It's not just for the sake of change or to become a better person. It's to be more like Christ in our daily life. And so when the Bible tells me to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, it's telling me I'm going to have a tough battle. I got to tell you, life is not a level playing field. Some people have a larger battle than others. Some people have more baggage than others. If your life has had a lot of conflict, tons of stress, verbal or physical abuse, you have more to deal with than those who've had a more relaxed life. If you fell into certain sins at some point in your life, drug abuse or any number of things, you have more to overcome than the person who, a Nancy Nazarene, grew up a sheltered life, grew up protected, does not understand a lot of those sins of the world, and does not understand addictions and how hard they are to overcome. You don't have as much baggage as that person who has really been there in the world and has a really, really tough battle when it comes to mental renewal. I do have to say this, having grown up in the church, having grown up in somewhat of a sheltered life, sometimes it's just as hard with that sheltered life to realize that God can really do a number on you and really change your attitudes, your thoughts, the way you look at things. Because in a real sense, even those of us who grew up sheltered still have a lot of baggage to carry around sometimes. Things that were put into our lives that, whether they were right or wrong, they are there. They're now. And they can affect us every day. So no matter where you're from, you have baggage. And it's there. It affects everything you do, everything you are, everywhere you go. It's there in your mind, and it's affecting you. The good news is this, though. The Bible promises to change all of those who trust in Jesus Christ. Just a quick review from a couple weeks ago. Romans 12:1. I urge you, brothers. He is talking to Christians here. Those who are followers of Jesus Christ, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who have experienced the new spiritual birth, they are no longer hostile towards God, but they have gone to loving God and His ways. He is indicating here that these folks need to be totally committed to just following God. And it comes down to this. How many times I've said this in through the years. It is one thing to ask forgiveness. It's another thing to repent of our old ways. It's one thing to ask forgiveness. It's another thing to totally turn from those old ways. Now, there's a simple fact here. You must have experienced salvation and total commitment to God before you can begin to experience the growth that's talked about in verse 2. If verse 1 is not a real living part of your life, verse 2 is not going to make a whole lot of sense. Be a living sacrifice. Then God can begin to work in you. Turn yourself completely over to God, and then He can begin to work with you. See, the only way I can have lasting change is if it comes out of my reason for change. Most of us can find something we're unhappy about, and we desire to change to get out of our misery. And sometimes we tend to use God to get out of a jam, and then we put Him back in the closet until another jam comes along. We don't pray as much as we should. We don't do those things that we promised God when we were down and out. And we just kind of get back to normal life, and the lasting change never really comes. And when we do that, when we put God back in the closet, the lasting change isn't there because our motive is wrong. I want to get rest so I have more energy. That's a wrong motive for getting more rest. I want to get more rest so that I can honor God and glorify Him with my life. Yeah, I'll get the more energy, but why do I want that energy? So I can glorify God. I may desire to honor my spouse or my parents or my children, but the end result in all this has to be to give God the glory because of what He has done in my life. He has rescued us from judgment. He has come into my life as my Savior. I commit myself to Him, and now I want to honor Him. You see, Romans 12:1 shows God's mercy. All of that stuff back there before Romans 12:1 in many of those chapters are talking about God's mercy to us. Romans 12:2 begins to show our response to that mercy. Worship is being talked about here. Your spiritual act of worship, there in verse 1. Worship, it's what we do when we are together. I noticed different people this morning as we were singing. You just seem to be really into God's presence, enjoying the words of the songs and realizing that God is the one on Calvary that paid the price for you. That you do praise Him because of who He is. That's what we do when we're together. It's what we do in our private times with God. We get alone with God in our Bible and we turn the TV off and we get quiet and we start talking to God. And before you know it, we just realize that God has met with us. Worship to God is what we do in our actions. We offer ourselves to God as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God, our spiritual act of worship. And then we come to this place where it's on our side, our response to Him. And Paul says, do not conform to the world. I have a thing that, just a belief that we mix it up with the big five. No smoking, drinking, movies, dancing, playing cards, or dating girls who do. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. In college, they told us that if you're a ministerial student, you should dress up every day, that all your classes are in the morning so that you get used to spending the morning in the office studying and afternoons out and about calling on people. Well, so that we would be holy and acceptable and not be like the world. And so some of us wore suits and ties around campus and then decided that we didn't really need to do that to be holy. Because they all thought we were hypocrites or something like that. I don't know. And then I started confusing things in my mind with the guys on Wall Street who dress up every day. And can be about as worldly as they come. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, you look at any late night TV program and the host is what? Ah, caught you. Some of you watch those too, don't you? Every once in a while. You watch any news broadcast and the news anchors are dressed up. And so I come to church dressed up so I can look holy and acceptable. Well, some of you think I look holy and acceptable if I have a tie on. And yet the world dresses the same way. So I start looking at this thing of not conforming to the world. And what does that really mean? I really want you to think about that for Wednesday. What does that really mean, not conforming to the ways of the world? It's an attitude. It's in what I do when somebody does me wrong. Do I go after them for revenge? That's what the world does. What do I do when things are having a really tough, bad day? How do I react? Do I blow my stack? Or do I allow God just to come in and calm me down and comfort me and allow me to think, what would Jesus do out of a heart of love in this case? And even sometimes when things require some pretty sticky, wicked action, that's a bad phrase, I can do it in a loving way. Jesus did when he cleared the tables at the temple. He was angered at the way they were treating God's holy place of meeting. And yet he did it with love in his heart and deep concern for those folks. Some of the conforming out of necessity is related to worldliness. I need to come up to certain standards in my life if I'm going to get along in life. Things like debit cards and credit cards have become a way of life. We have to deal in cash, and if you're going to have a house or a car, unless you're filthy rich and inherited a bunch of stuff, you're going to have some mortgages on those cars, and well, it's almost a mortgage on a car anymore and on a house. Those are not the kind of conforming to the ways of the world that we're talking about. We're talking about attitudes. We're talking about spiritual ways that I look at things that the world does not look at things. What's really important in my life? I look at the big five, no smoking, drinking, dancing, playing cards. You know, a couple of those have some big value for health and other reasons. And they're just good things. In truth, being conformed has more to do with attitudes than anything else. It is what our mind dwells on, worldly ways or godly goods. Paul is saying, do not be conformed to the godless thinking that characterizes the world. Over in Philippians, whatever is pure and honest and lovely and all that, think on these things. Chapter, verse 2 goes on and says, be transformed. Back to that whole thing about subscriptions. Renew the subscription with God. As our minds are renewed back to the way God meant for it to be in the Garden of Eden, we find ourselves becoming more godlike in our actions as a result of an attitude change. Paul was a rough, tough, hardworking guy. He went after Christians stronger than strong. That's kind of like older than old in Sunday school this morning. Paul just went after Christians with all his might, trying to do them in. And yet, I believe in his mind, he knew all the things about God that most people knew. He had grown up in that. He was well trained. After his conversion, he was still hard working, and the roughness slowly worked its way out over the years. He was still rough and tough, but God began to change him and immediately transformed him from I got to get after those Christians to where I got to have bring more people in to the kingdom of God. Be transformed. Allow God to change your way of thinking. I look at Norman and Mrs. Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking, and I was thinking of two or three other books the other day that all are along the same lines. If you do this stuff, you can have better thinking. A guy named Zig Ziglar wrote a book some years ago, See You at the Top. And the subtitle, if I remember right, was How to Get Rid of Stinking and Thinking and Get a Checkup from the Neck Up. All about mental power. All about having new thought patterns. Those can only really be done if we allow God to get inside of us, to get a hold of us, and change our mind. That verse goes on now with a reason why we need to allow that. For right there at the very end of verse 2, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's the result of transformation. It's not His daily will for my life. We talk about God's will. What does God want me to do? Where should I go? What should I do? I knew a lady years ago who said that she always prayed before she took a drink of water, Lord, is it your will for me to take a drink of water right now? Well, if you're thirsty, I think it's God's will for you to take a drink of water. Just that simple. I don't think you need to ask God about that one. That's just His will that you keep hydrated. God can talk to me about career choices when you're young. God can talk to us about who you should marry when you're young. God can talk to about us when we're older and thinking in terms of retirement. No, I'm not. But when you start thinking about retirement and when you are retired, what should I do to keep busy? You see, God can talk about those things, but that's not really what's being talked about here. Through the next three chapters or so here in Romans, I find guidelines for the Christian life. That's God's perfect will. How I live, how I act, what my attitudes are, who I associate with. Those things begin to make sense in the light of offering myself to God to allow Him to transform me from the mind more than anything else. You see, if I go out there out of free will, love, and honor, and commitment, and listen to God every day of the week, keep open to Him, He's going to make my mind to think on His things. I read something last night. The Word of God is not etched in stone. Now, before you throw rotten tomatoes at me, listen to the rest of this. It is written on the tablets of the heart. It is not an outward conformity to a system, but the inward response to the self-revealing Spirit of God living within us. Do you want me to repeat that? The Word of God is not etched in stone. It is written on the tablets of the heart. It is not outward conformity to a system, but the inward response to the self-revealing Spirit of God within us. Transformation. Transformation of the mind. That affects everything that I do because the mind controls who I am. And if God controls my mind, then He controls me. Father, we have come to You this morning with hearts of just deep concern. Of hearts, I believe, that really want to grow closer to You, that want to be more like You. And so, Father, today, I ask that You get into our hearts and our minds and our lives and transform us, Father. Transform us from the very top of our heads to the bottom of our toes, because we became living sacrifices and because we allowed You to work in our minds. Thank You, Father, for Your amazing grace in our lives. Amen.